Thessalonians chapter 5. I put this mic on, you know that means absolutely nothing. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 26. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. If it hadn't have been next, I wouldn't have chosen to speak on this. But it's next, and there it is. I hope there might be something real, fresh, precious for us. It's a common exhortation, do you know it? In the New Testament. In Romans 16, it says, greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. 2 Corinthians 13, greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. 1 Corinthians 16, the end of the epistle, greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. And here's the fourth occurrence. And Peter, at the end of his epistle, he has it slightly different. He says, greet the brethren with a kiss of love. And so, it's a repeated thing. You know, in Romans 16, the word greet occurs about 19 times. Greet the brethren. All the brethren here greet you. Greet Rufus. Greet Andronicus. Greet this one and that one. Greet Mary, who's worked hard in the Lord. You know, 19 times at the end of the book of Romans. It must be a pretty big thing. It must be bigger than we think. In a way, it seems so small. It seems so little, so kind of insignificant, so narrow. I mean, it's a Sam's theme this morning. It's kind of like it's just a small part of what he was speaking on already. This business of walking as God, walking and being imitators of God and walking in love. In a way, this seems like it's just kind of petty, kind of simple, kind of small, kind of elementary. It's kind of like a parent saying to his child, come on now, say hi to Grandpa. You know, and I mean, why does it have to be in here? But it is in here. And so we know really the roots go a lot deeper than what appears on the surface, doesn't it? The roots go a lot deeper and it goes further than we think. In a way, it's a very powerful thing. That is, it signifies powerful things. It reflects big things and the important matters in the Christian life. In 2 John, for example, verse 11, it says, if somebody comes to you with heresy, it says what? Don't greet him. If you do greet him, why, you become a participator in his evil deeds. So, you know, it's that significant. It's that important. Man, if I say, well, have a good day. Thanks for coming by. I don't agree with your doctrine, but you have a good day. Really enjoyed to visit with you. You've just become a participator in his evil deeds. Doesn't mean we're supposed to be rude or something like that, but nevertheless, you know, there needs to be something he needs to realize somehow, some way, that you're not just saying, well, you know, it's all right after all. We're just agreeing to be disagreeing. There needs to be some indicator. So the Lord, you know, He won't let us be selfish. He just putting this exhortation before us, you know, and just to remind us, He's not going to let us be selfish, not going to let us be tight, not going to let us be little, not going to let us ignore one another, be cool to one another, stand aloof from one another, not going to let us suck our thumb and hide, but rather He's calling us again and again and one way or another, to get out of ourselves and express some love. To get out of ourselves and reach out. And here is a call, in a way, again, for love. A call for us to be loving, yes, the new man that we are. And when we were formerly hateful and hating one another, you know, you might tend to not think of yourself that way. You know, I wasn't hateful. I didn't hate others. Well, Titus says that's the way it was. You know, you were formerly hateful and hating one another, Titus 3:3. And so here is this call to love the brethren in this way. You know, the word greet, it actually means, surprisingly, it means technically to enfold in the arms. To enfold in the arms. Like you're giving somebody a bear hug. And on the receiving end, you know, we got to admit we're pretty needy folks. We do need one another, don't we? Maybe we don't feel it all the time equally, but we're there's from time to time we sure do appreciate a little kindness. We do appreciate a little friendliness, a little comfort, a little compassion. It means a lot. And you know, we don't really know what one another's going through, do we? And it's like the other day, Evan went into the store to get something, and the fellow had said he'd be gone for lunch from this time to that time, and Evan waited around for upward to an hour, I believe it was, after he should have been back from lunch, and he didn't show. And you're tempted to think, well, what was he doing? You know, taking a long nap? And how's that for accountability? And, well, come to find out afterward, he'd broken his foot and had to go to the doctor. And so we don't know what one another's going through. And, you know, a lack of this thing right here, a lack of this greeting, this holy kiss, this loving kiss, a lack of that, it can cause some hurt, can't it? You know, I mean, well, man, what's wrong with him or what's wrong with me? What did I do? You know, maybe, you know, it gives room for suspicion and accusation and evil thoughts and so on, but introspection that don't have to be there. And, you know, here's a thought, too. You know, sometimes the world kind of, you know, it's like the Lord said, the children of darkness, they sometimes excel the children of light. And it ought not so to be. It shouldn't be that way, but sometimes, you know, the worldling, the non-Christian can give you a pretty hearty greeting. And, I mean, I remember growing up, some of those neighbors, they were, some of them were so selfish you couldn't hardly get much out of them. Couldn't hardly get a hello out of them. But then there was others that would come by. And, I remember this one fellow, his greeting, why, it always ministered good cheer. He just about couldn't help but laughing when he pulled in the yard. Old Ed Cordes, you know. And, he'd get out of the car with a grin on his face and have something cheerful to say. Here's another neighbor. When he'd greet you, it made you feel real important. And so, you know, there's just that's from a non-Christian, and that how it's able to minister to one another. And I can remember back in high school, you know, those high school buddies, some of them would give you a greeting, you know, an upbeat greeting. And here all we had in common really was sin. But there is this hearty greeting of acceptance, you know. And so we ought to ask the question to ourselves, you know, how am I doing anything different than the world? Am I doing it better than the world? Surely you ought to be able to do that. Any reason that I can't greet one another with this holy kiss? Any reason that I can't? Is there a reason that I should? Yes, there is indeed a reason that we should. I'm thinking of Romans 15:7. It says, as Christ Jesus received you, so you should receive one another. I mean, whenever you think about having trouble of greeting one another, greeting that brother, greeting that sister with a real warm greeting, all you got to do is back off and think, look, is that the way the Lord has treated me? Here I am, you know, a candidate, every reason he should have put me in hell, and he's taken me in and taken me to heaven. And so as Christ has received us, so we should receive one another. You know, didn't he see a few flaws in us? Didn't he see a few shortcomings in us? Yes, he saw many. And so all the more we can reach out to one another, even in spite of the fact that they're rough as a cob and this and that fault that we can see and they can't see it. But nevertheless, you know, grace is bigger than that. And love is bigger than that. So my first point was the word greet. My second point is the word all. We're just taking it word by word. The second point is the word all. Greet all the brethren. Yeah, all of them. Admittedly, there's differences. There's spiritual differences. Some are further along than I am. And there's personality differences. Some are easier to talk to. Some are qualities that turn you off. And there's differences in callings and giftings. I mean, some are the discerning ear. Some are the speaking voice. Some are the helping hand. And some are the caring heart. And so there's just differences in the way God has sovereignly made the body, made up the body. Some are rich and some are poor. Some are rich in faith, some are not so rich in faith. But nevertheless, don't let those differences keep you from going the second mile and giving all the brethren a greeting, the greeting of a holy kiss. Do not let partiality enter in. Matter of fact, the weaker brother, the weaker member in the body calls for more attention. Here, my feet, I got the most expensive piece of apparel on my feet, the least attractive member of my body. And the third point is brethren. Greet all the brethren. Yeah, we ought to greet everybody. The Lord says, in Matthew 5, if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Even the Gentiles do that. We ought to greet everybody. We ought to greet the non-Christian as well with a warmest greeting. But it says here, greet the brethren. There's something special for the household of faith, not just like Paul says, as much as you got opportunity to do good to all men, but especially the household of faith. And so, greet all the brethren. The brethren, think of it. We're talking about our brothers. Our brothers. The term becomes too familiar. And overworked, perhaps, brother so-and-so, brother so-and-so. And we just kind of get used to that as we go on in the Christian faith. I remember how, as a new Christian, how it seemed strange to me, being called Brother Bob. And, wasn't used to that kind of terminology. But you go on and then you kind of get used to it. And the word loses some of its impact, some of its meaning. But here, it's a very endearing word. A very intimate word, the holy brethren. Ananias, he greeted Saul of Tarsus, that enemy, a former enemy, and he really reached out, said, Brother Saul. But it's a family term, isn't it? It's a very intimate term, a household term, indicating a belonging, indicating a bonding. I mean, if you feel that intimacy with a brother physically, a physical brother, how much more a spiritual brother? The Lord said, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? It's those who do the will of God. And so, in other words, he was saying the spiritual bond is much greater than the physical bond. And we ought to feel that. We ought to be reminded of that, that we're talking about real brothers, real family members, when we're talking about greeting a member of the body of Christ. And somebody says, when he says too often, I just don't feel a part of that church. I don't feel a part of that church. I don't feel a part. Well, eventually you got to begin to believe him. The reason you don't feel you're a part is because you're not a part. But we're talking about those who are indeed a part of the body of Christ. Not only we're talking about our brothers, but we're talking about somebody who's a brother to Jesus. A brother to Christ himself. And so the Lord says, inasmuch as you've done it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you've done it to me. So the Lord, he takes it. However we treat our brothers, he takes it as the way we treat him. And so we ought to ask ourselves, here, the way I greet Tony, is that the way I greet the Lord? It's kind of shocking, isn't it? Let's go to the next point, that word holy. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. The Bible speaks of the Holy Spirit, and it speaks of holy angels, and even the New Testament speaks of a holy mount and a holy city. And here we're talking about holy brothers. And what does it mean? Greet one another with a holy kiss. Well, sometimes it means purity. It always means specialness. And so it's a special kiss, at least it's that. It's holy, that is, not a sinful greeting, not a sensual greeting like that harlot in Proverbs chapter 7. She seizes him and kisses him. We're not talking about a sinful or a sensual kiss, not like the world. You know, I can remember before I was converted, the non-Christian friends, they'd come to the door, their greeting, I mean, just the way they said their greeting, it was kind of a stimulation to, well, let's go sin. And so we're talking about a holy greeting, not a sinful greeting. And we're not even talking about a romantic greeting, like a romantic greeting or a kiss like that is between a husband and wife. And we're talking about a holy greeting and not a hypocritical greeting, not a hypocritical kiss. Like Judas, you know, he kissed the Lord and it was not a holy kiss. Jacob, he kissed his father. It was not a holy kiss because it was a hypocritical kiss. He gave the indication that it was his brother Esau. The same way with Joab. He came up to Amasa and grabbed his beard with his right hand and gave him a kiss and jabbed him through with a sword with his left hand. It was a hypocritical greeting. And so it's talking about that, a holy kiss, a sincere kiss, a genuine kiss. Holy in the context of Christ and all of the things of Christ. It's so different than the world. And now this last point. What about the word kiss? What do we do with it? Greet all the brethren with a holy handshake. It does say kiss. What are we going to do with it? I mean, it makes me scratch my head a little here. And how do you get around that one, you know? How do you excuse this Bible command? I'm not so sure I've got a solid answer. And one thing is, you know, we ought to obey it literally, physically, whenever we can. Might as well. Why not? I went to Bentley last February, met Conrad there in the cafeteria. He came up and he not only shook me I think he refused a handshake and gave me a bear hug and kissed me repeatedly on the cheek. And yeah, that's just about right. I was fine with it though, and never had it done quite like that in the presence of all. And over in the Ukraine, you know, when we were at those pastors' conferences, that's the way they did it. They kissed you on the cheek. And I did it back. Broke through that ice and did it back. Didn't hurt that much. But, you know, there are cultural considerations, right? There are cultural considerations, and that is valid. 1 Corinthians 10, you know, I'll never eat meat again if it makes my brother to stumble. You know, we got to do things that are acceptable not only in the sight of God, but in the sight of man sometimes. 1 Corinthians 8:21. And so, first of all, you know, you got to think, is this an ordinance? You know, like baptism. When you look at baptism, it is a physical ordinance. It's a physical thing that was done. It's done. He had done all over the New Testament in all cultures. All it looks like it's there for all time. And so I just can't help but read the New Testament and be persuaded that that's you do it in spite of what man thinks. And regarding this matter of it being a ritual or an ordinance, you know, when it comes to this kiss, I mean, that's the last thing you want it to be anyhow, is some ordinance or some ritual or some formality. And so you don't want it to be that at all. And you got to consider what others think, and you got to consider what is the message that I'm giving off. I mean, here we are in a culture where homosexuality is on the rise, and you got to think, you got to take that into consideration, and lest you give off a false message. The same way with head covering. You know, yeah, no doubt about it. It was a physical thing back in those days. There was a physical covering on their head. But on the other hand, 1 Corinthians 11:14, it does say this, that a woman's long hair is given to her for her covering. So that's her real covering. And you'll learn from church history that back then, if you did not wear a covering on your head, it meant just the opposite. It means just the opposite today if you do wear one. Back then, if you didn't wear a covering, you stood out. But now, if you wear a head covering, you stand out. On the other hand, and so, you know, you gotta consider the culture. And the setting. You know, at a sporting event, there's all sorts of hugging going on, kissing going on, and, you know, we won. And so just the setting, certain apparel in one setting is fitting in one place, but not in the other. But after all of that, what is the point? What's the big point? What is the big command that we're to keep right here? Surely it's love, right? And you know that fifth one that I referred to at the end of 1 Peter, greet one another with a kiss of love. That is the big point. That is, there ought to be in our greeting to one another, there ought to be a communication of acceptance, ought to be intimacy communicated, love communicated, warmth, friendliness, affection, not coldness. The Lord reproved Simon the Pharisee, say, you gave me no kiss. Here she was down there on her knees kissing the Lord's feet, pouring out the affection upon Him. And what a word, you gave me no kiss. There ought to have been that show of affection. Kiss the Son lest He become angry and you perish in the way when His wrath is soon kindled a little. Psalm 2. But this ought to be the climate of a local church. I read this comment by Lloyd Jones in his day. He says, these were days when strangers did not commonly greet one another in church. Think of that. Things were so stiff, so staid, so stoic, so rigid, so formal, I don't know what was going on, that they didn't even greet one another with a handshake, apparently, so little warmth. And so that's the other extreme. When Paul was saying goodbye after that elders' conference, that pastor's conference at Ephesus, what did they do? You remember that? They walked him out to the beach, and they says they fell on his shoulder, they fell on his neck and repeatedly kissed him at the thought they'd see his face no longer. I mean, that's just a whole lot of affection going on. And so, think of it, in our midst, there ought to be that fervent affection, that fervent love one to another. That's the big command. That's the big thrust. This command, a new command that I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. So, am I fulfilling this command? If not physically, then nevertheless, in heart. Am I expressly communicating love? Or is my greeting so weak, so small, so cheap that it leaves the other fella wondering if I've got something against him? That's about all I can squeeze out of it. Maybe you've got some more.